everybody turn around to something else. But nevertheless, we thank God for those that are here tonight. Amen. We thank God for my wife being here. We thank God for all of your yourself and prayers. Now, when it's a small crowd, we got a capital I.
And
the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him, that's why you can't get out of him. Amen. In him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own course have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we are not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven art and man's device. And the times of this day, God had, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word in the church, said,
word of the Lord.
Amen. You may be seated. God don't need us, but we need God. Amen. God doesn't need us, but we need God. And the scripture said, God has done all of this, and in verse 27, that they should seek the Lord. God created all mankind to seek him. Amen. And Paul, as we went up on Sunday to the Colossians, he said, if ye then be risen with Christ. How many of us have been baptized in his name?
Amen.
Who's been baptized in Jesus' name? If you've been baptized in Jesus' name, then you're risen with him. Amen. Then we ought to seek those things which are above and not the things which are on the earth. And we ought to set our affections on things above, right? And not on the earth. For we are dead and our lives are hid in Christ. God created all of us to worship. And God created us for a purpose. And our purpose is that we might seek the Lord. And on Sunday, I didn't get a chance to go over this because we had such limited time. But the word, the Greek word for seek is zeteo, Z-E-T-E-O. And it means to crave after God. It means to hunger after God. It means to desire God with an insatiable appetite, meaning that it cannot be satisfied. That's how we are supposed to seek after God. That, you know, I'm like, yeah, you ever crave something? Then God is so much greater than that. And in craving him, then we show God that we will delight ourselves in the Lord. Then as we delight ourselves in the Lord, amen, he will give us the desire of our heart. But Psalms 1 said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the what? One of the ways the devil has fooled and set the church up to miss out on blessings is that we allow ungodly counsel to direct us. And many times ungodly counsel is not someone else, but it's our own selves. Amen. Allowing ourselves to be self-deception is ungodly counsel. So I said, well, listen, God won't bless you if you go outside of God. God can only bless you if you stay in God. Amen. Counsel of ungodly nor standeth. What is the company that we keep? How can we get blessed going against God? When the Bible tells us, come out from among them and be separate. Amen. And it says, for friendship with the world is enmity with God. And James said, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that if you are a friend of the world, then we are? Well, this is how the devil sets up the saints. Because we stand in the way of sinners. Right now, we're not better than anybody else. Amen. But we, our company that we keep, we should always be different because the Bible said we are the light of the world. So when we're in the world, we ought to be light. And the Bible says about Jesus, he was the light of the world, and the darkness comprehended him not. So when we're in an unsafe environment, we ought to still be the light. Amen. No matter where we go, we should always take advantage of that. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his craving. His greatest desire is in the law of the Lord, and that's a craving, a desire. It's a passion to have God. It's a passion to read God's word. It's a passion to have God's word in us. Amen. And then in that passion, we will meditate, and once again, that means we're going to be on like a lion on the prowl, trying to get to the word of God. Amen. Meditating this law, how often?
Day and night.
Amen. And the lion is searching for food, how often?
Day
and night. So it's so important tonight. If you want to be blessed, don't go outside of God. Now, we went over a couple of weeks ago in Psalms 34, verse 15, and also 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are over upon the what? Righteous. God's eyes are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. So what is God looking for? Someone that just stays in the word. The word is what helps us to live right. The word is what makes us right with God. For his word is a light to our path, and a lamp to our feet. So we need God's word to please God. But then let's go to Proverbs 28, verse 9. So we try. How many just want a blessing? Well, don't walk in ungodly counsel. Yeah. Oh, excuse me, I didn't get a chance to change tonight because I was in the hospital later. A lot of y'all looking and say, hey, you ain't looking right tonight. I ain't looking right. All right, but we were at the hospital a long time, so I didn't get a chance. We didn't leave until late. And by the time we got out, I didn't have a chance to go home and change. Amen. So don't y'all judge me. Amen. Hey, so I got to stand behind this podium because I'm out of the right clothes. Amen. Hey, but we have allowed the devil inadvertently, it's not intentional, to sidetrack us, right? But Proverbs 28:9, let's go there, and then we're going to go back to the 17th chapter. I think we should know this. Verse 9 of the 28th chapter reads, he that what? That means to depart from God. That not means that you're not wholly following God. Amen. It says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing. When you turn away your ear, that's a willing decision. To turn away their ear from hearing the law, even their prayer is an abomination. So how can we get blessed if we don't walk in the light as he's in the light? Like the Bible says, walk in the light as he's in
the light.
Well, how do we get light? It's through the word of God. So when we intentionally turn our back away from the word of God and say, God will not hear our prayer because that prayer is in what? Is an abomination unto God. And the 17th chapter, let's go back to the 17th chapter of Acts again. Amen. And I'm going to just skip down to a couple of these other verses. Because a lot of times we say, well, God understands. God does understand, but he also commanded men everywhere to change. And let's go to the 30th verse. You know, a lot of times we find reasons to excuse away our disobedience to God. We find reasons to excuse away our ungodly actions. Amen. And say, well, God understands. Yes, God does understand. But the Bible says God gives all of us space to repent. That means when you're going the wrong way, you need to do what?
Change.
Amen. You cannot stay wrong. So verse 30 says, at the times of this, all right, say, well, I didn't know. So, well, there was a time of this ignorance. God did what? He winked at it. Amen. God allowed it to go. But the longer you say, what much is given, much is required. But he said, but now he commanded men where? Everywhere to do what? To change. There was a time when your lack of knowledge was justified. But now God said, I need you to change. Well, how do we change? It's time for us to do what? Seek the Lord. And the scripture says, he said a little earlier, that we should 7. And happily feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Now let's go to Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. It's so important tonight. We can be in a, we could have been, right? We shouldn't stay there. We could have been in an ignorant way. Ignorant means it's not something, it's not the negative overtones of just willful. But ignorance means what? Not knowing. Amen. So if you don't know, how do you find out? Search the scriptures. Amen. We search everything else. As I said years ago, I still read books, but I don't read religious books. Amen. Because when you start reading religious books, you're reading other people's references and their interpretation. And the Bible said, and you know, the scripture is so wise. Right? Read the interpretation. The scriptures are so wise. Actually, before we let's go to the first. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter, I think, 1 or 2. Hold on. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me read the scripture here to let you know why it's all right to read history. But you're in error when you allow them to teach you. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me get it real fast. Usually I put my scriptures on paper because this Bible is really small. Alright, but I'm just going to read a couple of verses to let you know why it's not always so wise to follow what other people write. Amen. Let's start at verse 5. Alright, this is why, well, actually, let's read verse 4 too. This is why, at one time, you should listen a whole lot, but then when you start studying God's word and allow God to speak to you, he's like, wait a minute, that doesn't really add up. You know. So the way the devil deceived Eve is he did what? He twisted the word. Right? That's how he deceived Eve. The devil has no respect for you. He don't care about your position. Because he even took the word of God and tried to do it when he dealt with Jesus. Right? He's telling Jesus what is the word says. Lost, wait a minute. I am the word. How you gonna fool the word and tell me about the word when I am the word? The devil has no respect for any of our positions. Jesus said it is also written. But how can you not be deceived if you don't know? What's it? Right? So let's go to verse 4. It says, and my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom will mess you up every time, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your did not stand in the what? Wisdom. So when you're reading all these books, where is your faith at? Amen? Where is your faith? Should not stand in the wisdom of man. I'm not saying don't read. I'm just telling you what I learned through my few years of being saved. Right? Your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. How be it we speak wisdom among them that are? You got to be spiritually mature. Because he talked about you can't be on the milk of the word as a babe. But he's speaking wisdom among them that have matured spiritually, them that are perfect, yet not. So, and we're going to get down to a little bit later in this same chapter, we're going to speak. The wisdom of this world, many times we will follow it, but the wisdom of this world is contrary to the wisdom of God. Amen. How be it the wisdom of this world, and all the princes of this world that come to, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of men the thing that God has prepared for them that. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit.
For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God, but by the what? Well, when you write all these books and they don't have the Holy Ghost, that's shallow. You understand? So how can they teach you the deep things of God when they don't have the Spirit of God, because you only know the deep things of God by the
Spirit?
And the Bible says it reveals the deep things. So we're trying to get deep in God, but we read some shallow books. It don't work. So I just rather read the Word and let God speak to me through the Word, because I don't need the wisdom of man, but I need the power of God. Amen. So people are written. Every once in a while I do pick up some books and I do read them. But I don't allow them to direct my steps, because many of them speak against the Holy Ghost. Now how am I going to read about somebody that's going contrary to God to find out about God when they don't even know God? Do you understand? So why am I going to read somebody that, a lot of the books, when I start reading, I said, wait a minute, I got to find out what they believe. You know what? They talk about the Holy Ghost. How can they help us spiritually? Because in order for you to know the mind of God, you have to have God's Spirit. Didn't Paul say, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his? Well, if they don't have the Holy Ghost, how can they lead me? Now, yes, they know all the history. But when we get down into the, look at somebody say the deep things. How can they help you if they don't have the Spirit? So Paul, in his great wisdom, I'm going off course, I'm going to come back. Y'all with me? I'm just saying, read books, but don't stick your whole being in the books.
Amen.
Do you know what, how many know Jesus tell us something pretty good?
Yes.
I'm just saying, y'all think Jesus already pretty good for
me?
Since he's an author?
Amen.
And finished?
Yes.
So I don't know if nobody interpret the book. I'm going to write to somebody who authored the book. I don't want somebody to give me their personal interpretation of the book. I want somebody who finished the book. So this is what Jesus said. How many like to follow what Jesus said? How many know Jesus won't take us the wrong way? All right, go to John 5:39. Y'all know. So we are, of course, a little bit. But stay with me, because God's leading me this way, so we're going to stay here for a minute.
Amen.
We're going to get back to this other stuff, and we're going to still get y'all out of time. So start looking at your watches. Start looking at your clocks. Let's go to John 5:39. All right. So let's read the verse before that. Let's read the one before that, verse 38. Then we're going to see what he says in 39. Okay? Do we have it? It says, and ye have not his word. Now he's speaking to people that know God. Right? No. Man, I can't go to all the church. No. Alright, he's speaking to people that know God. What he says in the next portion of the same verse, for whom he sent him, ye believe not. He said that the only way you're going to know the truth is that you have to do what? Search not the books, not what man has put. Search the scripture, for in them ye think ye have turned, and they are they which. So all those books are people's interpretation, but I'd rather go to the Word and let the Word instruct me. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, study to show yourself approved unto God. What do you mean? You gotta work the scriptures. Now he's not talking about how that somebody should work. Not that kind of work. Don't let this run you away. He's talking about the scriptures. He said, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly divide. Well, the reason we're not dividing the word of truth is
so far off. Don't go by what's popular, because what's popular is not always right. But let's go to Colossians chapter 2. All right? We're going to go to Colossians chapter 2. Then we're going to come back. We're talking about searching the what? Scripture. We're talking about seeking after who?
God.
Seeking after God. So Colossians chapter 2. Actually, if you read the verse before this, it really gives you some really spiritual stuff. But we're not going to go there right now, all right? Colossians chapter 2, it says, I ought to go there, but I won't go there for the sake of time, because we might, y'all want to go there for a minute? Let's go there for 1 minute. Go to verse 2. It says, that their hearts might be comforted, being what? Knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of the under, full assurance of the what? Understanding and the of the mystery of God who is a spirit, and of the Father, and of it's a mystery. God, the Father, and Christ. He tells you it's a what? A mystery. In whom are hid all the treasures of? You want some wisdom and knowledge, just get it, God. It says all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and this I say, lest any man should
be God.
So when you read all the books, you just read a whole lot of enticing words. And they're leading you away from God, because they don't even know who is God. They don't know who is the Father, and they don't know who Christ is, because they're telling you three, but they are. So you're reading all these Trinity books, amen. But then he says, verse 8, beware. Right? Beware lest any man. Don't let them deceive you. Don't let them take you away from God. By what? Reading books instead of searching the scriptures. Right? Lest any man spoil you through what? Philosophy and vain. To see after the. And after the. But. So all these books, if they don't have a spirit, how can they lead you? Well, the Bible says the Spirit will lead and guide you into some truth. The Spirit will lead and guide you into what? Somebody said, well, I don't have a good memory, but when you get the Spirit in you, the Spirit will bring all those things to your remembrance. So that's why it's important that you search the Scripture, because in your time of need, God will manifest himself. Amen. So we want to seek after God in the way that we know God. And we can't continue to use the excuse, well, I did not know. The Bible says, we read earlier, there was once a time when God winked at this ignorance. Your lack of knowledge, God permitted it. It means he tolerated it. But then he commanded men everywhere to what? Repent. It's time for us to change. Now let's go to Jeremiah chapter 29. All that is no charge. But if you want to find out about God, in the beginning was the articles of the books. In the beginning was whoever and whatever, PhD and MFD and all those other things. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and with him was not, but everything was made by him and without him. So if we want to know anything, we should go back to the Word. That's where our wisdom comes from. Just to show you something else about the Word, we're going to come back to share my 29. All right, I'm just going to give this to y'all as God's giving it to me. Can y'all stay with me for a minute? All right, because we're trying to get deep in God, but we're trying to get deep in God by going shallow. You know? It's like some of us are trying to swim, but we haven't got out of a foot of water. I got to teach y'all some swimming lessons. You got to go out into the, didn't Jesus say lunge out into the deep? Amen. I know it's in Ephesians 1, that the world, he didn't reveal them to men in their writings, but he revealed them to who? To the church. Is it one eye? Okay. To the church. Amen. It might be Ephesians 3. I didn't go to the third chapter. But, all right. Let's go to the 29th chapter for now. We'll come back to that. It's time to meditate on it for a minute. All right. So let's go to Jeremiah 29. And we're going to go to verse 11, I believe it is. Okay. Find my place. Right? I jumped over so many places. I jumped out the last one. Amen. And we're talking about seeking God. And seeking God the right way. Yep. Not according.
Ephesians
3:9. 3:10, that's it. I'm sure that's it. I know it's 1, 2, or 3. Alright. Let me just give you that one real fast. Ephesians 3:10, okay? Because it shows you why it's so important that we don't follow man's teaching. But we have to follow what the Lord says. Amen. 3:10. We read verse 9 first. It says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the what? May who see it? All men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been given God, who created all things. Right, but God created all things. He said, but this is a hidden mystery from the beginning of the world. Amen. But why is it so important to be in the church? Verse 10 says, to the intent now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the who? Church, the manifold wisdom. So God reveals this to the church. Well, my question is, if God revealed this to the church, why are we going outside the church to try to get the mind of God? When he has been hid in God, who created all things by Christ, the manifold wisdom, which is made known unto the church. That means if you search the scriptures, God will show you just what he wants you to see. Amen. Now Jeremiah 29:10 read, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years we have come to set Babylon, he said, God said, I will. Now we know that for 70 years God pronounced judgment on Judah because they walked in rebellion to God. But God told, he said, I always will have a place, a name in Judah. Right? Even though you messed up, that's why it's so good to sing God. Even when you mess up, God said, I still got a place in Judah. So he said, you messed up. He said, I'm going to punish you for 7 years. He said, but I will. I'm coming back. This is my word. I will visit you and perform my what kind of word? He said, right now you might be going through. Anybody ever feel like, Lord, I know I messed up, I'm going through. But the good thing about God is that he won't hold your sins forever. Amen. He won't hold your failures against you forever if you come back to him the right way. Amen. In causing you to return to this way. For I, God said, I'm not thinking like you think. That's why it's so important that you know the manifold wisdom of God through his spirit. Because when people look at that, if all of us look at Judah, right, and they messed up and they went Babylon, they said, man, they ain't no good. God don't have no interest in them. Because they messed up. Through the open eyes, the natural eyes. But when you look at it through God's eyes, say, God, I might be down there. But look at somebody and say, I'm coming out. I might be messed up there. But I am coming out. Right, because God's mercies endure forever. And the Bible says, surely God is good to Israel.
to such as be of a clean. Maybe I was messed up, but I was messed up. But now I'm right. So surely God is good to those that have a what kind of heart? A clean heart. So God tells me, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of
peace
and not of evil. God said, I'm going to give you. You might not understand it now. Hallelujah. But in the end, God's going to give you an expected end. Just keep seeking God. Don't allow anything to turn you around. Don't allow what man has written in opposition to God to misguide or lead you away from God. It says, verse 12, it says, then shall ye. Listen, after you've gone through, after you've experienced the worst of the worst, after you may have experienced my judgment, he said, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hear. Don't ever give up on God. No matter where you may have been, he said, just call on me, and I will hearken unto you. And he shall. God, thank you. In a casual way. But it's about knowing God from the depth of his soul. He said, and he shall seek me and find me, but there is one condition. God said, you want to find me? You got to seek after me with all your heart. All of us know how we seek in God. Are we seeking God with all
after God.
Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what bread shall we drink, or what thought shall we be clothed? For after all, this is how the world seeks God, by word. Amen. My brother said, preacher told him years ago, he said, if you're going to pray, don't worry. He said, but if you want to worry, don't pray. That's what he said. Yes, the preacher told me. He said, if you're going to pray, don't worry. But if you're going to worry, don't pray. We got to seek after God's way. Amen. God allows all of us, it was all time, to come to ourselves. We don't all come at the same time. So, that's why Jesus put a little scripture in the Bible. Judge in Matthew 7, verse 1. Judge not, that you be not judged. Because with the same judgment you measure out, it's coming back. Right? Don't judge. The only thing Jesus asks us to do one for another is what? Pray. One. And if you don't want to pray one for another, he said, then love one another. This is the greatest commandment. This is the royal law. Stop putting in our mouths on people. Right? Love one another. That ain't important. Let's keep going. All right? That's no charge. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your God knows what things you have need of. And a little earlier in that same chapter, he said, before you ask. God already knows. You know why God allows us to go through things? To see what was in our heart. It's only a test. God already knows you have need of everything before you ask. Because only God knows the end from the beginning. The Bible said, no one to God are all of his works. This day, we didn't know what's coming and we didn't know what's happening. But guess who knew? God knew. Right? So God knows everything every last one of us need tonight. Why don't we go to anybody other than the author and the finisher? Because he knows. Amen? And then he says, but seek ye. This seek means to crave after. To have an insatiable, you know what insatiable means? It cannot be satisfied. The more I get of God, the more I want of God. This is how you see God. It's insatiable. I can't get enough. Now, I'm not talking about being heavenly bound or earthly, no good. Because everything has to be done in its proper space. Right? Let everything be done in moderation. But I'm saying, we have to get to the point where seeking God has to be more important than seeking the mall, seeking the sports, seeking the thing. God has to be first. A craving, a desire. That line, you know, have you ever seen those lines, like I said on Sunday, when the line is fixed in, it's fixed in. Right? And nothing can stop that line when it's fixed in. You ever see those crazy pit bulls? I've never owned a pit bull. And I don't have nothing against people that do all of them. I would like to have a little cat's head and all of that. But pit bulls, you know, Georgia has some counties. If you got a pit bull, they will find you. And if you keep, I think if you keep that pit bull, they will kick you out. In some, I think Douglasville, Georgia. They said no pit bulls in this county. Because of how dangerous people have trained them to be. But pit bulls are so bad, they could be dying, but they won't let go. Right? A pit bull can be so bad, you can beat it, they have sticks, we beat them and everything, but they have a death grip, and they won't. That's the kind of grip we should have when it comes to the Word of God. People can be doing everything, but I won't let go. Amen? It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his. And God says, if you do that, all these things he's going to what? God's going to add to us. When we get our spiritual priorities in order. Well, Do y'all think, I'm just curious, you know, because the devil did try to tempt Jesus with some scriptures. If you go to Matthew, the 4th chapter, tell God what's written. Do you know the devil know what's written? So what he knows is what's written. Is he twisted to deceive us in our minds. Then once he twists us to deceive us in our mind, we're going away from God, thinking we're going to God, then we want to waste the blessing. It's all a part of the deception. Amen. That's why Jesus in the 24th chapter of Matthew, one of the main things he repeats, let no man deceive you. We're living in a time of deception. We're living in a time where we're following a whole lot of what people are saying, but there ain't no God in it. You can't follow a man if the man ain't following God. Paul said, follow me as I
follow Christ.
Follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. When I start following Christ, start following me. Right. I don't care if I'm following the pastor for 100 years in this church. If in my 101st year I start following Christ, you got to start following me. With that being said, we're going to close in 2 Chronicles, the 15th chapter. All right, 2 Chronicles, the 15th chapter. And also you can read about, I think, in the 29th chapter, 2 Chronicles, when David gives commandments to Saul. All right, so we're going to close in 2 Chronicles, the 15th chapter. How many just want to be in a place of God where they know that they're pleasing God? Because scripture said, when a man waits, please the Lord, he does what? Make it. He said, listen, your enemies don't have a choice when you please God. When you please God, he said, he will make your enemies be at peace with you. And the 15th chapter of 2 Chronicles 3, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and this means all Judah and all the people of God. He said, hear me this. The Lord is with you. While say, well, God, I just don't feel like I can find God. Are you with him? The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found in you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Many of us, whether it was intentional or because of the trial of life, we're no longer seeking after God like we ought to. We've been distracted by so many things, and now we're trying to find out what's wrong. God will be with us while we be with him. And if we seek him, he shall be found. But if we forsake him, he will. You can't allow any trial, no matter how great it is, to cause you to turn your back on God. To seek God means you do not turn. To seek God means, regardless, I gotta follow Jesus. So I said, the cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, world, no turning back. I'm pressing on the other way. New heights I'm gaining. Who's really pressing on? If you're pressing on, see Jesus. Amen. What I like about Stephen when he was stoned in there, right? Now you say, when you're in pain, you should be able to see God, right? I'm saying, when your spirit is right, when you're hungering after God, even in pain and hardship, he said, I see the heavens open. Hallelujah. How are you going through all that? How are you being stoned and you see a glorious vision? Because the heart is right, in glory.
Because he looked down and said, Father, forgive him.
How you gonna ask somebody to forgive you? Go through all this, they stone you?
Because I'm seeking the Lord.
Right? And ain't nothing you or anybody else can do to make me turn around. I got to find, anybody gotta find Jesus? Anybody wanna feel after Jesus? Anybody wanna say, regardless of the cost,
hey, I'm going through. Right? Don't allow anything or anyone to turn you around.
How many know the devil is a master deceiver?
He is a master deceiver. He will do anything to make you stop following God. Because once you stop following God, you lose your blessings.
Whatever the reason might be, you can make up a whole lot of stuff. God will never place more on us than we are able.
Well, let's close. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. We'll close here.
How many know that God is faithful?
Amen.
How many know God's faithful?
Amen.
And in God's faithfulness, he will what? Never let us down. God is so faithful. Amen. God said, I'm allowing you to go through this, but I'm not going to let it overthrow you. Because I am faithful.
Amen.
You might be going through the worst trial of your life, but God says, I'm not going to let it control you. I just want to see, when you get the hard time, do you keep following me or do you turn? In your hardships, are you following me or are you turning? First, this is our last chapter. From last verse, even though I got these other scriptures, I'm not going there. All right? 10:13 says, they had no temptation taking you, but such as is. Everything that you go through, someone else is going through it. The Bible says the same afflictions are being accomplished in your brethren and in the world. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man, but whatever you might be experiencing tonight, don't turn your back on the only one that's faithful. God is
faithful.
I desire to be as faithful as possible, and I can never compare to God.
Amen.
You can never compare to God. Your best friend, your husband, your wife will never be as faithful to you as God. Now, husband and wife, they're going to be faithful to each other.
Amen.
This ain't no excuse to mess up. And who will get married?
You're right, man.
But look at the person next to you and say, they don't give you no excuse to mess up. Right? You still got to be faithful. And if you I'd say point at each other, don't get old. You still gotta be faithful. Right? That doesn't give you an excuse to purposely mess up. Amen. But it says God is what?
Faithful.
And because he is faithful, he will never suffer you to be tempted above that which you are
able. Somebody said, well, I gave him, but the temptation was too great because you weren't trusting or seeking after God.
If you follow God, the whole world around you can fall down. 1,000 on your right hand and 10,000 on your right, on your side, and 10,000 on your left, right hand. But it won't come. Not even. Why? Because I'm dwelling in a secret place. That's a place in God. And we need to all find that place. That's a place in God that we need to find. That even in our hardship, the Lord will still be our refuge. The Lord will still be our strength. The Lord will still be our helper. And the latter part of the verse says that he will, with the temptation, make a way that you might be able. That temptation don't mean God is allowing you to be tempted to fall, but it's a test to see if we want to be faithful. How many want us to be faithful to God? That's awesome. Lord, I want to be blessed, but I have to follow God. In my distress, I have to follow. In my trials, I have to follow God. As the elders and ministers come forward, amen. As Deacon Joe and Sister Patty find something to sing over there, amen. Amen. If you sing something, today is the day and time.
we can give up on all others, don't ever give up on God. Don't allow whatever test trial you go through to make you lose your spiritual focus. Tonight, stay focused. Because if you stay with God, God will bless you. You might go through for a while, but he said, I know the thoughts I think towards you. Thoughts of what? Peace. And not of evil to give you.